This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, October 29th, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. Wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are stretching U.S. troops. Tough talk from the White House on Iran is giving military families little comfort. Walter Oy, in an article in the new Regulation magazine, asks, should we bring back the draft? Oy is a professor of economics at the University of Rochester. He played a key role in transitioning the U.S. military to an all-volunteer force.
We're unlikely to go to a conscript army again in the near future, as far as I can tell. That the Europeans are dropping the draft. We still have it in some of the countries, but it looks like conscription is on its way out.
Now, Charlie Rangel, a representative from New York in November of last year, suggested precisely the opposite, that he would like to see a return to the draft. Is there a racial element at all to Representative Rangel's push for reinstatement of the draft?
I don't think it's a racial element. I think what he would like to do is to get the draft to hit the upper income levels. But I'm not sure of that. I do not know Mr. Rangel. He has been pushing a return to conscription for at least the last 20 years.
You refer to this as a stylized fact, and that is the idea that in order to meet recruitment goals that the military has, since the end of the draft, gone into slums predominantly in order to get enough soldiers.
That's the folklore, and it isn't true. They're not going into the ghettos, because with the high-quality army that they want to attract, where they want to get at least 60% to 70% of their recruits from the upper half of the mental distribution, and they want people with high school diplomas, not GEDs. They're committed to this mechanized army, a high-tech army, and they're not going into the slums. You know, if you look at where they are getting the recruits from, it is not from the low-income census tracts. And I think that Beland and Gilroy had this op-ed piece. And they have data. He's the director of accession policy, that the people being forwarded to recruiting basic training camps are not coming from the low-income census tracts.
What is the economic case against the draft?
The basic case is that we are using compulsion, and because we are using compulsion, we feel no obligation to pay them a competitive wage. We are not following the common law. The common law says if we take property, you must give just compensation. We never did that. The pay of the first-term enlisted man was kept incredibly low, and it wasn't until 1973 that we got that pay rate to go up, 72. And then at that point, we didn't keep it up, and we suffered shortfalls from 1974-5 through to 1980. And then we finally got the starting pay to be competitive. And since then, I think we've been watching it reasonably carefully, and we are paying a competitive wage, and we're doing what the common law says we ought to do. If we take property, we ought to give just compensation.
Or at least offer them and someone an opportunity to reject that compensation.
Yes. The main thing, I think, is that there are people like Donald Kennedy at Stanford, the former president of Stanford, who's still saying that we need to share the burden. And he thinks you can do this through compulsion. I see no reason to believe that at all, that when we did put in a lottery draft, when Nixon put it in, the high-income people just left the country. And they can always escape the draft. And they have always done this. If you say we had a draft during the Civil War, yes, we did. It's an incredibly inefficient draft because of the fact that you could buy a substitute. The substitutes would report for duty, then they would go absent without leave, AWOL, and they'd go back to New York City and re-enlist again as a substitute. It was a very strange draft that we had.
Walter Oy served as an economist on President Nixon's commission on an all-volunteer armed force. His article, Should We Bring Back the Draft?, appears in the most recent edition of Regulation magazine, available at our website, cato.org.